You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 124.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Alex here, and I got another masterclass for you here with Corey Peterson, the Big Kahuna. And guys, I just want to give you guys, let you know who Corey is before I bring him on here. He's the managing member of Kahuna Property Partners and has flipped, renovated, acquired, and sold over $39 million worth of real estate across the country, and has also been involved in the ownership and management of over $31 million of commercial and residential real estate. Best-selling author. Check out his book, Why the Rich Get Richer, The Secret to Cash-Flowing Apartments. He's spoken at Harvard University, which you guys should definitely check out. It's in the show notes page. And also is the host of an upcoming podcast called Multifamily Apartments Investing Podcast. He's been featured across the news, you know, Fox, CBS, NBC affiliates, you name it. Guy's been out there. Super, super cool guy, down to earth. And on this particular podcast, we talk about a lot of things from private money to, you know, how to cheat your way to success. But, you know, one of the things you guys are going to hear about is how Corey is, well, at the time of the recording, he's 13 days away from closing and profiting $5.6 million. And I did my best. What's this little dude, the mini me, the guy from, anyway, I forget. I'm drawing a blank now on Shaggy, whatever that guy's name is. But yeah, so we talk about his first deal that he bought in 2012, and we're in 2017 now. It's coming up here in end of July, beginning of August. He's expected to close on this thing for $8.8 million. And so we do a case study. We talk about that deal. We talk about some of the challenges he had. And anyway, super cool guy. I think you guys are going to really love this episode. And let's just jump right into it. What's going on, my friends? Excited to bring you another masterclass here with my buddy, Mr. Big Kahuna, Corey Peterson. What's up, my man?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Everything's awesome, man. Appreciate you taking the time to jump on the show here.
Yeah, man, I'm excited.
Yeah, man, so am I. I know we have a lot of mutual friends in the industry, and I've been hearing your name more and more. We have a lot of friends in Collective Genius, and Jack Bosch has been on the show, and I know you guys are partners now as well. So yeah, man, I'm really looking forward to this one. And guys, just to kind of whet your appetite, give you a little bit of preview about what Corey and I are going to talk about today. You guys know, if you've been following the show for a while, that we cover everything from primarily wholesaling, but we talk about fix and flip. We talk about, you know, how to build cash flow in this business. And that's really what today's episode is about. Is more and more I've had people reach out to me wanting me to interview experts, people at the top of their game when it comes to commercial real estate. And so Corey's an expert at raising private money. He's done a lot of multifamily deals, and he didn't even get started that long ago. I want to say, Corey, correct me if I'm wrong, man. You got started, I think your first deal was like 2011.
Yeah, 2012.
Wow. So in 5 years, well, you know what? I don't even want to kind of, you know, steal your thunder. Can you kind of give us a bit of an overview, maybe like a 30,000 foot view as to how you got started in this business? I know I kind of alluded to it in the intro, but maybe if you can fill in some of the gaps there.
Yeah, Alex, you said my favorite word, by the way, which was cash flow.
I love it. I love it.
Yep. I love that word, man.
You and I both, man.
So I'll give you the Cliff Note version is, in 2005, I started my company, Kahuna Investments, as a young, dumb kid that was trying to, you know, no money, no credit, and just a desire to succeed and to not quit. And lots of roadblocks. I moved out from Oklahoma to Phoenix, Arizona, and I was partly doing real estate, but I was a financial advisor as well.
Okay.
And then I got canned. I got canned when the market crashed, and I really, my desire was to do real estate. And fortunately for me, I'd learned the money game a little bit and in the financial world. And I just knew that the market in Phoenix was at the all-time low that I'd probably ever seen in my lifetime. Okay. And so it was like do or die. And I started off wholesaling. and I was doing short sales and REOs, did really well, found some guys to do some 50-50 partnerships and some splits. So I found some money. And then I did so good that he actually brought his brother in town. And next thing I know, we're not doing any more deals together. Mm. So anyways, I kept going, persevered. Then something magical happened, and I raised my first piece of private money, OPM, other people's money.
Okay.
And I did it totally by accident. And because it was by accident, I learned some secrets on really how to raise capital. And at that moment, I really like crystallized. I'm like, this is where it's at. You know, having money available to do deals was really nice. Well, so then I got really good at raising capital, where I'd raise maybe $3 or $4 million of capital. And then as soon as I had all this money, this is like in 2011-ish, the market started to change in Phoenix. It was harder to find short sales and REOs.
Sure, yeah.
The supply started to dwindle, and yet now I got all this money behind me saying, Corey, put me to work, put me to work, right? And so I was driving home one day, and I saw this apartment complex. And I swear to you, I used to always say this, I wish I could own an apartment complex.
I've been there.
And for some reason that day, I just changed my mindset. And I said, how can I own an apartment complex?
I love that.
And as soon as I asked myself the question, the right question, framed it up right, man, things started firing. I'm like, oh, gosh, what do I know about apartments? I don't know a whole lot. So I went and got educated. I spent a whole year learning how to find deals and how to underwrite apartment deals. So in 2012, I felt confident enough that I actually got my first apartment complex. I raised $1.4 million.
Awesome.
I bought a 144-unit deal in South Carolina for $3.2 million. And it was, ironically enough, as we're having this podcast, in about 13 more days, I will be selling that property for $8.8 million.
Boom! I love it, man. That's what I'm talking about. So wait. You bought for 3.2. This was 2000. Correct me if I'm wrong on the numbers. You said 3.2 in 2012, and now you're selling it in about 2 weeks for 8.8. Is that right?
That would be 5.6 million reasons to love the Big Kahuna.
Damn! Hats off to you, man. Congrats. That's so awesome, man. Well, there's so much I want to get into this particular deal. And that might be, I think you have probably taken the record for the biggest profit that's about to go down of anybody I've interviewed on the show. So, man, that is so awesome. I can't wait to get into the details of that particular deal. But there's
Alex will not cry when that sells.
Oh my God, man. I'm going to be so happy for you, man. That's so awesome, man. And hopefully, you know what? I appreciate you sharing that. Hopefully it inspires at least one person listening in right now to go take action, right? And to think bigger. And that's one of the things that, you know, Corey, you and I talked about it a few weeks ago that I'm challenging myself with is, you know, how can I get involved in bigger deals? And that's kind of a perfect segue. If I can backtrack for a little bit here, I want to highlight something you said that I think is so powerful. You change the question that you ask yourself. And, you know, there's such power behind that because I really believe that when you ask yourself questions a certain way, it will open or close certain doors in your mind. And I'm sure you probably agree with that.
Oh, 100%, 1000%.
Yeah. So it's so critical that, you know, listening in, as you're listening in, think about the questions you ask yourself and think about the story that you tell yourself about why you can or can't do something. And that can literally change and impact the course of your life. So, and the other thing before we get into this particular deal, I'm curious because you kind of piqued my interest, Corey. You said that you, by mistake, you stumbled on, you know, being able to access capital and you learn how to raise private money. How did that come about?
You know, I was playing racquetball with one of my old financial clients from Edward Jones. And we play racquetball to this day, like every Tuesday. And so I was really, he'd watch me doing the wholesaling game. And this is back when I was wholesaling REOs and short sales. I was locking them up in a contract. And it was a little difficult, but I was only like making $3,000 or $4,000 a wholesale. Mm-hmm. And the guys that I was wholesaling to were making, you know, $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 rips. And so I was like, Carl, hey, listen, I'm doing this. And, you know, I think I could trade off, like, if someone would pay. Now, Carl lived in a retirement community.
Okay.
And I didn't think Carl had any extra money. I mean, I was his financial advisor, and he had everything kind of locked up. And so there was nothing there for Carl, right? So I'm asking him as a friend for help. And he'd watch me go through the process. And so I'm like, Carl, if you know anybody that's looking to, like, made a better return on their money, I could probably pay 12% and if give them a note deed of trust, give them security. Mm-hmm. In other words, teach people how to play the bank. And so he took that, and I was just asking him for his friend and as to critically, you know, help me. Well, the very next day, Carl calls me up. He's like, hey, Corey, are you still wanting to do that 12%? And in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, Carl found somebody. Yes. And he goes, Corey, you don't know this, but my home's totally paid for, and I can borrow money at 3%. And if you'll pay me 12, I get to make a spread. How much do you need? And I said, Carl, I need $85,000. And he goes, okay, no problem. Where do you want me to send it?
Wow.
And then, like, just like that, my draw, you know, jaw,
yeah,
dropped down. And I didn't have that part. I never thought that far ahead, right? So I'm like,
Now what, right?
Yeah, let me get back to you, Carl. I'll figure out that solution.
That's
but
so
I came out of that thing. It was like Superman going into the booth and then coming out, and you're pulling out your deal and saying, I'm Superman. I raise private money.
That's so awesome,
and
man.
It crystallized what you just said. At that point, I didn't think raising private money was possible for a guy like me, a guy that barely made it out of high school, you know, one that was not well educated. And I didn't. And so that was true for me up until that moment. And once that moment changed for me in my mind, because this is, you hit it right up the nail on the head. Your mind is so powerful.
Oh, yeah.
It will unlock anything. And I mean anything you want if you will just give it what it needs. And so at that moment in time, it like crystallized in me that I could raise private money and that I could do it.
Wow, man. And that's such a critical skill, especially, you know, in the commercial real estate game. And so I don't want to bury the lead here, man. Can you kind of take us, you already started the story with, you know, you were driving back and you came across this apartment complex. Walk us through like what you did from there, because man, let me just be transparent and be honest with people that I've been there. That question you asked about, you know, what do I need to do or how can I own an apartment building? I drive by several every day and I think to myself, I'm taking that thing down one day, right? But
yeah.
So what did you do from that point that you decided that you came across this apartment complex that fast forward 5 years, you guys are about to make 5.6 million on this thing. How did, like, what was the next few steps that you took from there once you saw this apartment complex?
You know, I just knew. So the next step was to, okay, I got to learn how to underwrite, you know, what does a deal look like? How do I even find a deal? And what would a deal look like? So, you know, the first thing I did was went to Barnes and Nobles. Like now it'd be just go to my iPad and go to the bookstore or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I went and got everything on multifamily that I could. And I started reading from different authors. And I finally found an author that I really connected with. And his name was David Lindell.
Yeah, man, this is just so interesting that not to interrupt, but let me just interject for a second. The first deal I ever did in 2005 was a pre-foreclosure short sale. It came from a pre-foreclosure letter that I got at a Dave Lindahl Marketing for Deals boot camp. A month later, I sent that out. I took it right out of the manual from the 3-day boot camp, and I did my first deal from his letter. So that's so funny that you mentioned that.
Dave Lindahl just wrote the foreword for my book that's getting ready to come out. So
very cool, man. We'll make sure to tell people at the end of the show where they can get that, definitely.
But so I became one of Dave's best students, man. I really worked hard and I just did what he did. I mean, man, there's like, if there's anything I can tell your listeners, it is, I am not the sharpest tool in the shed. I am the most lazy investor that I know and I hate work, okay? But I am a master copier. Like I am the shiznit when it comes to finding stuff that's good and then implementing it.
Yep.
And so when I met Dave Lindoff, I was like, man, his stuff's good. He's doing it now. He's still buying stuff. He was relevant. And so I just followed his course and I did what he said to do. I mean, there is no like magic pill. He just said, hey, he gave me the framework to underwrite and understand what a deal looked like.
Right.
Now, once I did that, remarkably, this is now, it's not how I find deals now, but remarkably, this is one way you can find deals. So I'll tell the story how I found this deal that I bought for $3.2
million. Okay.
I actually went to a Dave Lindoff boot camp. And at that point in time, I was confident. I was ready. I knew I had a bunch of private money behind me that I could place. In other words, I could command this money and they would do whatever I asked them to do. So normally when I go into these events, you're always looking to find two or three people that are kind of players and you're trying to find who the guys are really doing deals.
Right.
And this event, I'm like, man, I'm going to do something different and boldly different. And so I knew I had all this money behind me and I was really wanting to find a deal. And, you know, I was like, I could go find one out myself or I'm going to try to do something different. So luckily I was in the day one of the room towards the end of the day. They're like, hey, does anybody want, it was a small group, probably about 50 or 60 of us.
Okay.
So it wasn't a big, big room. But they said, hey, does anybody want to say anything? Like that was my cue. So I stood up in the back of the room and I'll never forget this. I go, listen, my name's Corey Peterson and I got a crap ton of money and I'm looking for some deals. Is there any deals out there?
That is awesome.
And so the rest of the week, I didn't pay for lunch or dinner.
Hey, you know what? Fortune favors the bold, man. You got up, you spoke out, and people will come to you, you know?
And so I learned something. I call it my godfather moment.
Your godfather moment?
Yes.
What is that?
This is the Corleone method.
Talk to
me. The money is in the money, right? Because I told everybody that I had capital, I got to see every deal that was at that event. Anybody that was peddling to try to find money for a deal, mm-hmm. were bringing it to me that week. I saw every deal that was at that event. And I did it, and I got to saw it in a way that would be like Don Corleone, you know, like the Godfather, right? Yeah, hey, show me your deals. What do you got to do? You show me your deals, right? What do you got for me?
What do you got?
Right?
What do you got?
Yeah, I want to wet my beak, you know? And it was the craziest. It was awesome because here they're taking me to lunch. They're buying me dinner. What do you want, Corey? It's like the spread is yours.
Oh, man. You know, it's so simple, but yet so genius that you just, you know, you had the fortitude to get up and just say, I have money. And man, it seems like that's an area, maybe that's your unique genius zone, but it seems like raising capital is something that a lot of people I find struggle with. Maybe later on in the show, we could talk a little bit about that, but you've seemed to master it. And so now you're adding value to people that have deals. And so when you have capital, deals are going to come to you.
Yep. And when you have, money, and it doesn't have to be your money, right? It's OPM. I had a bunch of OPM that I could deploy, but I know this, the money is always patient. The money always negotiates out of strength. The money always gets the second look and the last say. And so all these deals that were coming to me, I was looking for is someone that was desperate, mm-hmm. more so, that needed to really needed my money. And that had a deal that really made sense. And I found it and I was able to negotiate a 75% ownership of the first deal that I did, the one that I'm getting ready to sell. And actually, and I own it 100% now. I bought both those guys out early on.
Okay.
But I negotiated 75% ownership of the deal.
So Corey, can you tell me about how you structured that? So, you know, so obviously you brought the capital to the table. What did that joint venture look like as far as, you know, you walking away with 75% ownership of the deal? Like aside from the capital, that was there anything else that, you know, you were bringing to the table and or what they were doing? I mean, obviously they bought the deal.
We could go into a can of worms here, Alex, because I could tell you everything not to do on your first deal with my first deal.
Okay. you're still looking at 5.6 in about 2 weeks.
Yes. Wow. So, I mean, it's a great case study because I made it about every stupid mistake that you can make. In other words, like, I can only tell you to know thy partner, but more importantly, know thy operating agreement. And don't use anybody's but yours. In other words, have your attorney prepare it.
Got it.
Because I got into some legal battles with some of these guys. I'm not going to disclose who they are or what they did, but let's just say that they changed it last minute where I had 75% of the outcome, but I only had a 33% of voting rights.
Ouch.
Ouch indeed, dude. And I immediately bought out another guy. I kind of made him – I did turn into the godfather, and I made him an offer he couldn't refuse. Wow. Because it was all my capital in jeopardy. I didn't have any control of the deal now.
Okay.
But I got through it. So the one thing I did right, though, is I made sure that it was a really good deal. Like, I did my homework on making sure the neighborhood, the city, everything, and what we could do to that property, I knew that that was a slam dunk.
Okay. So, and you said this deal, you're in Phoenix. You said this deal was in South Carolina?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, all on the other side of the world.
Wow. Right? Wow. Very cool, man. So talk to me, I guess, from there. Once you went through the underwriting process, you confirmed that it in fact was a deal. We don't need to get into the weeds as far as like the partnership and how all that happened. But what happened from there? So, like, obviously this was five years ago. Like, talk to me about what's happened in between.
Then we just implemented the plan, right? Because, like, we knew that it was, so this property was like 70% occupied. It was in a great area, but it had a drug problem. It had good bones. Like, it had brick construction, pitched roofs. But like, the first thing we did was we hired Malden police to come and live in one of our units. So that, you know, we had the police there. And I'll never forget this. The guy was like, "Hey, listen, that, see that area right over there?" She goes, "I can't even tell you how many doors I've kicked in and over there." Right. That's where your problem's at.
Got it.
And so we were just talking one day, and I was like, "Hey, listen, could we get, like, don't you guys have canine units?" He's like, "Oh yeah, man, sure we do." I go, "Is there any way that we could use my facility, my property, as like testing grounds?"
That's so smart. Awesome.
And so he's like, "Yeah," and we basically in the next week posted on everybody's door that we're gonna have Malden police out, you know, the next day, and we had two move outs in the middle of the night.
There you go. That'll do it, man. Go ahead.
Now we cleaned up the drug problem right there, just that quick, right?
And Corey, this was, so this property was in a C or a B area?
This is probably a B area, but a C property.
Okay. Okay. Could you just, I don't want to assume anybody listening in that might not be familiar with like the jargon. Could you like just quickly highlight what that means?
Yep. So with properties, you have A, B, C, and the war zone. And so a C property is built in the 70s, early 70s construction. And, you know, usually doesn't have washer dryer hookups in it. And that's really basically it. It doesn't have very many amenities, right? Maybe a clubhouse with a pool. And really not even a clubhouse, just an office where you can go sign a lease. And then areas, like, you have the same thing for areas. So you're either an A area where all the retail stuff is, a B area, or, you know, something C, and of course the war zone. And right. So you want to buy in a nicer area than your property is, if you can. So I was definitely in a B area, probably even a B plus, because like 3 miles down the road, 4 miles down the road, there's Best Buy.
Oh, that's
there's awesome. All the new. So I'm in a great spot, but I've got this 70s looking property that was an REO. So you know how REO and guys that the receivers that handle REOs, they don't care. They didn't give a rip.
Yeah.
So the property was not operating very economically. And so all we did, so from there, we implemented. We had budgeted maybe about, I think, $450,000 in rehab. Uh-huh. And we just started taking a building at a time and said, "Let's complete this building." So we'd go in there and put new flooring, new appliances. We would resurface the countertops and put new ceiling fans and just kind of make it nice and pretty. Two-tone paint. Nothing crazy. Probably about $3,000 per door.
Okay. Okay. And Corey, were you guys self-managing or did you have a property management company?
No, I had a property management company, and that's something, another place that we you really should spend time on doing lots and lots of research and asking lots of questions, because I get asked that a lot. How do I do it from Phoenix, Arizona?
Yeah.
And it's because I vetted my property managers really well. And what I'm looking for is their systems and procedures, because that's what you're buying from a management company. You're buying how they're going to train their staff, how they're going to talk to your staff, how the staff is going to implement our systems and procedures. And because at the property level, it's either you're managing the tenants or the tenants are managing you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so we just had to make sure that we had the right management company that could effectively, incorporate our plan. And I went through two of them, right? Mm-hmm. The first one that we initially hired, my ex-partners hired them, so we had to fire them immediately.
Oh, wow.
And then we found a company that did really well for probably about three years. And then 2 years ago, I transferred to the management company that I use for all my properties now. That is, they're like the cream of the crop, in my opinion.
Okay.
But they effectively have raised the rents. Like, so we started our two bedrooms for $500, like $550, right? For a two bedroom apartment. It's now like $775 to get the same two bedroom apartment.
That's great, man. And so was that when you were underwriting the deal, Corey, was that like one of the big value adds that you saw right off the bat as the opportunity to raise the rents?
I didn't know I could raise it to $775, but I sure knew that we could raise it $50. Right. And $50 on 144 units is a lot of money. Right. Yeah. And that creates a lot of value right there.
And that's the thing. Obviously, I know you can back me up here, is that when you're looking at multifamily, it's all about the net operating income. Right. It's
NOI.
It's totally different than the single family game.
It really is, because it's all based on cash flow. And that's why I love it, is because here's what I realized. Now, I still have a wholesaling business. So I wholesale in San Antonio, Texas. And we do maybe $85,000 a month, every month, consistently. So I still have that business, and I love it. But what I've come to learn is I can do that business once I've systematized it, which I'm sure you teach, right?
Yep.
Then that frees up your time to start going raising private money and talking to people about money. And that's really what you should, that multifamily game is, it only takes one deal to like retire you forever.
Yeah. Yeah. One deal will change your life.
I mean, one deal, this deal that I've been doing, it's been paying me probably $100,000 a year for the last 3 years, right? This apartment complex. And now I'm getting ready to sell it. And the reason I'm selling it is I'm not going to sell it to cash out. I'm selling it and doing a 1031 exchange into a $15 million deal.
Wow.
That's going to even pay me more cash flow.
That's awesome.
So, man.
Corey, you kind of touched on it, man. And I think this has been really, really valuable. And hopefully it's really inspiring people that are listening here. But talk to the listener that finds themselves in the position where they're trying to do deals, or maybe they have a business and they're doing a handful of deals a month, but they're on that hamster wheel, right? Wholesaling, as you know, is a transactional business. And even though you systematize and automate it, I don't know. It's somewhat challenging to be 100% totally disconnected from that business. I wouldn't say impossible, but it's challenging. How do you?
Yeah, and I'm not disconnected 100% from mine. I still run a weekly meeting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and even that's not much, but that's awesome that you've been able to do that with your business. What would be the advice, or the one thing you would tell people that are looking to maybe not transition out of wholesaling, but use the profits that they're generating in the wholesaling business and putting that into a bigger plate? Would you say it's focus on private money and everything else will kind of start to fall in its place?
That would be my first. If I had a magic wand, I would say start there.
Yeah.
But you don't have to, right? There's lots of people that are like, they feel so uncomfortable. But I'm going to tell you, if you can get good at that one thing, it leads to all the other roads, right? And it gets there quicker. You can get there quicker with capital.
Yeah.
Like if you said, hey, Corey, if Alex, if you told me, hey, Corey, I think I know a crap ton of people and I could probably bring in $2 million to a deal, we're talking after this podcast and we're going to do a deal together.
Yeah.
Right.
I see.
Because that's how powerful capital is. Like, if you can make my life easy, I'll go raise the other half of the deal. You can bring in a million and two. Mm-hmm. And I'll even help you. Like, in other words, you just put me in front of your people and I'll go close the deal. Right.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But by having connections and people, that's like so valuable to me and to anybody that's in the syndication business. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it's a very strategic move to take some of your wholesaling profits, even if you're just buying a quad, right? Buy a quad. Don't buy a single family home. Buy a quad. Buy a fourplex. Uh-huh. And take some of that and get it where you're buying lower cost per door with better rents, right? And then you're going to start making a cash flow machine, because cash flow will set you free. Like, hey, listen, we all read Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad Poor Dad, right?
Love that book.
And we all fell in love with the dream. And the dream that Robert sold was cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with most of us and most of the friends that I know is we all settled to become traders. And I want to say that with a T, not a D, because we become traders to the original craft, which was cash flow, and did it and settle on fix or flip or wholesale.
Yeah, which honestly, Corey, and I'm kind of shooting myself in the foot here, you're not really investing per se wholesaling and maybe fixing and flipping, right? Like what you're doing with...
You're
with
a trader.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly. It's not, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a great business, but it's not investing in real estate per se.
Yeah, investing is when you get depreciation, brother. Mm-hmm. Where you get like, you get all the cool benefits of becoming a real investor. So like when I 1031 exchange, I'm going to buy a $15 million property. I'm going to do a cost segregation study that's going to allow me to accelerate my 24 years of depreciation into like five. And then all the income that I earn is going to be offset.
Uh-huh.
Like that's called magic, brother.
Yeah.
And so, but that's real investors get to do that. And I'm not saying that, no, trust me, I'm not trying to poo-poo on it, because I'm a wholesaler as well, bro. So I know it, but I've also seen the other side. And the other side of cash flow, like true investing, is so rewarding because it gives you the real lifestyle. Because I can tell you, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners are feel the same way, the hustle and grind of fix and flip and wholesale can drive you mad.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. And you know what? Even if you're not in the trenches, you know, talking to sellers, meeting with them and just doing all the legwork, even if you're managing a team, you still got to manage them. You got to hold them accountable. You train them. So you're wearing a different hat, but it can still drive you crazy sometimes.
Yeah, no, I know this because it still drives me crazy. I sometimes wonder why the hell I'm even still doing a wholesale business, but only because I employ like half my family.
Oh, really? Wow. So, interesting. Very cool. Yeah, well, let me ask you this, man. I got a few more things I kind of want to bounce off you.
Yeah.
One of the things I've considered when it comes to multifamily is, you know, asking myself, do I want to be in Corey's shoes? Do I want to be an active owner, an active operator? Or do I want to maybe just eventually invest in somebody's deal as a preferred partner or, you know, 6 to 10%? Like, so talk to me about if you're an owner operator, if you're very active, how passive is it truly? Because I mean, let's be honest, it's a shitload of work what you do, right?
No, it's not.
I mean more on the front end. I don't mean once you acquired
it. No, I don't even do it on the front end. Man. So
then I have a limiting belief, man. Talk to me.
Okay. So I'm getting ready to buy a $20 million deal right now.
Okay.
I've looked at the numbers. I've underwrote the property. In fact, someone else put it in a system and they sent me the numbers. Uh-huh. So I looked at the numbers and I said, yep, that looks good. So then we did a site visit, right? Now, personally, I didn't even go to the site visit. I just paid for another group of guys to go on the site visit. I could have went on the site visit, but I didn't because it was a long flight. So they came back and they gave me this nice, neat report with all the pictures and said, hey man, we've confirmed this is a deal. And so, great. it's a deal. We think we should do it. Now we've wrote up an LOI. So I could have wrote up the LOI, but I had another guy write it up for me.
Okay.
And so then he sent it to me for signature. You're going to see the same thing, your scenario. Lots of people do work for me. And so I read it. I like it. So I signed it. So it went off to the broker. Broker said, great. Now he invited us to the highest and best. And now we're in highest and best. So we firmed up our numbers. And actually, we do this on purpose. We start a little bit low. Now we're given our best offer. And we've cheated because that's how you get deals. I wouldn't say we did. We cheated ethically. We just called the broker and we waited till all the other deals were submitted. And then we said, hey, listen, we really want the deal. Where do we need to be? Are we hot or cold? Uh-huh. Right. And so we played the hot or cold game till we got hot. And then we said, great, we'll submit our offer to him in just a few. Now, I'm still waiting to see if I get that deal. Now, if I win that contract, here's what's going to happen next.
Okay.
I'm going to hire my management company to go to the property and do a unit by unit inspection. Uh-huh. I ain't doing it. You don't want me to do it. I'm not the numbers dude. I'm not like a bean counter. So you hire bean counters. It'll cost me $10,000 for the experience for them to go to 326 doors and rate it A, B, C, or D. And by that whole, we get a 45-day inspection period. So we're going to know, my management team, and every management company will do this for you. You just got to find the right ones that will do a detailed inspection. So you'll know how many units you're going to have to fix up. You should be able to know a cost per door of what your real capital expenditures, what it's going to take to fix it up.
Yep, CapEx.
Yeah, your CapEx, you're going to know within, then you're going to look and say, okay, what did I budget on my deal? Is it match with what we found now? And if it is, it's still a go, so we're not going to kill the deal. And usually we're pretty liberal on what we, in our underwriting initially, what we think the property's going to be. So once we get that done, now we're going to say, yep, we want to buy this property. We're going to move forward. I'm going to continue raising capital. I'm going to put all my capital together. I'm going to close the property. When I close on the property, my management team, again, is going to be on site the day of closing. I'm not going to be there. Uh-huh. They're going to hire my staff. They're going to bring in someone from corporate to sit in the desk until we get everybody trained our way, because we have a unique way. And we start building our unique system and our procedures into the current people that are there. And if they don't work, we let them go. And we find the ones that will follow our strict guidelines.
So you said, and, Corey, just to make sure I didn't miss that, you said that when you hire a management company, you fly them out and you guys train them on your processes, your systems, your procedures. Is that right?
Yeah, well, the management company that I use their systems and procedures. They're going to train my – so
I got
the
it.
Staff are usually always my staff, right?
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
But so they're going to do training of their systems and procedures, which is the systems and procedures I fell in love with and the reason I hired that management company. Okay, so now we're owning and operating. So at that point in time, when it's initially a new property, I'm usually getting a weekly report from my management company. Here's, you know, here's what we're doing, right? Here's how many lease ups. Here's how much traffic. Here's our conversions. Here's what we're doing on the building, on projects, right? I'm getting weekly reports. And then at the end of the month, we get a complete financial. So we account for every dollar that we spent. And so I look over that report. And honestly, that is all the hell I do.
Wow.
Is I look at these reports and I go, great. And if the reports are good, and honestly, I don't even now so much. I know my team, we know each other, like we communicate pretty good. But I look at the end of the month report because I don't want to get in their way. They're usually really on point with what they're doing, so I don't take the weekly reports and chime off on them. I just like to see what's going on, mm-hmm. but I don't respond to that. I respond to the monthly report if I start seeing trends.
Okay.
Like if it's a downward trend, we're going to be like, hey, listen, what are we doing to fix this problem? Like if mm-hmm. we keep seeing occupancy slip, right? Or if we don't see our renewal percentage staying at a constant rate or something like that,
yeah.
Then we'll do that. But really, I'm just commanding. I'm only managing my management team, and it doesn't require, a hell of a lot of effort. It really doesn't, because that's what you pay that management company for, is to do that heavy lifting for you.
Yeah.
And so at that point, I'm really passive.
Have you ever found yourself in a position, Corey, where you hired the wrong management team and then it turns from being passive to it being a nightmare?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that's a whole nother podcast. So it really, I guess what I'm trying to get down to is, it sounds like, you know, it's a matter of really having the right people on your team, which is true for any business, really. And this business is no different. It's about having the right management company, the right people on your team managing that asset, right?
It really is. That's what it all comes down to.
Okay, awesome. Sure. Well, hey, let's wind down with this, man. Before I, you know, I have you kind of let people know where they can connect with you and reach out to you, I want to try to leave the listener with one item that they can take action on. And I appreciate the time, man. Hats off to you on this huge deal you're about to close. Really excited for you and your team. Let's focus in on private money. You could teach a whole seminar on private money, but if you could just leave the listener with one or two or three things max that you would recommend they do as far as trying to get momentum and the wheel turning as far as getting and attracting private money, what would you say? Because I find that if they can't get past that first step, it might be challenging for them to even locate an asset. Like, so let's just focus in on private money. Any tips or anything you can share that says, hey, if you've never raised private money, here's what I would suggest you go do.
Alex, I'll probably even do you better. I'm going to send you some things that if you, we'll figure out a way for that I can give people a, what I call my credibility kit.
Oh man, and my that'd be private, awesome.
And my private money lending program.
Very cool. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate that.
I'll just give it to your listeners, right? We'll put it in the show notes or something like that, how to do
great.
It.
Great. Okay? Thank you, Corey.
But those two things will show you how to go out. And because a lot of these guys are wholesaling, so they already know what a deal looks like. And you can use your current wholesaling business to start gathering stuff for your bigger deals, right? And so in the private money game, if you have a, what I call a credibility kit, and all this is going to be a before and after picture and maybe a video. So when I was wholesaling, I would go to a property and say, hey, listen, this is Corey Peterson. I'm over here at 193, you know, crap hole. And, you know, this is me at the property. And then even though I wholesale it to another person, they would fix and flip it. So I just get the picture of the MLS listing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it being sold. Well, there's the story of, you know what you're doing. And this is a way that you can garner and create a credibility kit that will allow you to say, hey, here's what I'm doing. And this is, I'm not saying you do fix and flips, but it's a way to tell a story to investors that will allow you to raise capital. Right. So you can say, here's what I'm doing. And we're planning on doing some apartment deals or some things that cash flow using the same process. And, you know, I want you to really look at it because I think you are the kind of person that knows lots of people and could probably, you know, introduce me to the right people. And I know if you don't understand this, what I'm going to share with you, no one else will. So can you critically look at my presentation and my stuff and, you know, tell me if there's any holes in it?
Hmm.
And so what did I just do? I just asked someone to critically
give you feedback,
look and give me feedback. And the right people always self-select every
time. That's awesome. That's so good. That's so good. Well, hey, man, I really appreciate you sharing that resource. Well, so guys, we'll definitely include a link so you guys can access that in the show notes. I hope this comes across sincere because it's the truth. I had no idea Corey was going to offer that up. So no strings attached. You know, we'll just include a link so you guys can access that. Really appreciate
I'll give
that.
You guys in Word docs too. So it'll be in Word so they can totally just take my company's name out and put all your stuff and just use it as a template.
Very cool, man. Well, where can people connect with you, man? You mentioned earlier you have a book coming out. You know, or what if people want to find out more about potentially how they can work with you, or maybe even if they can add value to you and your business, whether it's bringing deals, obviously you have capital, or otherwise, like, where do people connect with you, man?
Yeah, go to kahunawealthbuilders.com. So kahunawealthbuilders.com. Actually, you can sign up. I got a free, how to raise capital and how to find apartment deals videos, a two video series. So they can just opt into that and find it. That'd be great. Okay. They can get going, learn some good stuff.
Sweet, Corey. So KahunaWealthBuilders.com. Guys, we'll make sure to put that in the show notes. And then also, I'm also going to put a link in there. Corey speaking at Harvard. It's a short 6-minute video, but it's a powerful message. So definitely check that out. That's going to be in the show notes page as well. Corey, man, really, really appreciate the time, dude. If there's anything I can do or that we can do to help you, by all means, I know we'll be in contact. So you let me know, man.
Man, I appreciate the opportunity, man. And hey, if I can tell your listeners anything, believe in yourself. Take what you have in your little, you know, in between your ears and make it work for you. It's the powerful, most powerful asset you own. Put that thing to work, and dude, you can do anything you put your mind to.
That's so great, man. We couldn't end on a better note. So guys, appreciate you tuning in here. I really, really value your time. Hopefully you're getting a lot of value from the content. Corey, again, I want to thank you, man, for hopping on. And guys, definitely, if you're getting something out of this show, I would love for you to share it with your network. If you could leave a 5-star rating and review in iTunes, greatly appreciate it. And other than that, we'll make sure to check out KahunaWealthBuilders.com and check out the videos Corey has. And then again, make sure to access Corey's credibility kit, which will also be in the show notes page. So Corey, appreciate you, brother, and we will talk soon.
Thanks, man.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show, but we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text Empire to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.